Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update for July 26th. We are here to talk to you about everything that's going on the feeds. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I have brought you a great guest. First, it's Haley. How you doing, Haley?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
I'm
wonderful.
Great.
Yes. I'm living for the Raven-esque hair, and I'm not sure what to call them. Hair buns.
The double top knot? I'm not sure either. Inspiration struck me this morning, and I felt like I had to do it. And I thought I was going to hate it, but I actually am kind of digging it a little bit.
I'm living for it. I really am.
Yes,
I don't have the matching pacemaker, though. Is that okay?
Oh, that's a very vital part of the costume, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, Haley, she does some podcasts on the Rehap Ups channel. Do you want to talk about this?
Sure, I would love to. So
yeah, that's your hint, Haley. Plug your show.
I know, I'm not used to these like live video podcasts. Usually I can like do weird things, like smell my candle collection on my desk, or like eat or like drink wine while I'm podcasting. So I really have to be like cognizant of what I'm doing. So I talk about The Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise. I do that over here on the same feed, you know, just kind of scroll down. I'm sure you'll see our podcast. So I talk about that with Amy, and it's a lot of fun. And sometimes people also convince me to talk about pretty much any show where people hold hands and make out with each other. So I've done stuff about 90 Day Fiancé, and Amy and I last year did like a Most Loved Shows recap. There seemed to be like a lot of stuff going on, so we just did that.
Cool.
So, you know, you can find me around the neighborhood, whatever tickles your fancy.
Is this the first time you've done a live feed update in the morning?
It is, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
I had to get up really early. I had to test my webcam.
Yeah.
Sorry for the quality. I don't get the live feed or budget for webcam, so I had to use like the one in my computer from like 8 years ago. So
okay.
Ben King says this is going to be the SAS cast.
Yes.
We've got Brent and Haley on.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
So let's get into the update. First in the morning, Kevin is trying to talk to Jason and Paul about, listen, guys, I have a strong feeling that Jessica has a temptation and that it might do some things. And Paul and Jason are just like, nah, I don't know. That doesn't make sense to us. They're really not getting the hint. Brent, why aren't they understanding that Kevin was told something? It seems very obvious.
Well, I don't understand in the first place why Kevin's not being honest. I mean, policy's ride or die from my perspective. I mean, that's the guy he really is trusting with all of his information. Paul is the only person in the house who knows that Kevin took the $25,000. And Paul was the one who instructed him to do the hinky vote during the Cody eviction week. So I don't understand why Kevin's not being honest in the first place. On the other hand, I understand why Paul is sort of poo-pooing this, because Paul believes that Jessica has the temptation. That's not the problem. The problem is that Kevin keeps saying, well, I think maybe she could do this, or could she change the nominations? And Paul rightly suspects, well, you know, she was on the block with Dominique. If she had some power, she would have used it then. Of course, all of us on the outside are like, no, bitch, that's not why she would have done that, because she knew she was safe because you told her she was safe. And it was apparent that Dominique was going out of the house. So Paul's logic is totally flawed here. And
that doesn't sound like Paul.
I know, right? But he's been on the show before, Haley. I just want you to know that.
You know, I haven't heard that.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. I think that he feels like, because he knows more than everyone else on that cast, he feels like, well, I would know.
Theoretically.
And so he's thinking that, like, well, this doesn't make sense to me, and I'm the authority. So if I don't think it's true, then it must not be true. Haley, how do you feel about that logic?
My thing with Paul is that he is kind of a moron, like 90% of the people here, which is fine. And like, I can get some entertainment from Paul, but he's so like high on his own dick that he can't even like see outside of it.
See? I'm just, you know what I'm thinking right now, right? Like that happened and I didn't say it. So I just want
true.
That noted.
He can't, he's like so like he's like, I'm the vet. I know everything that's going on. Kevin, you're an idiot. Josh, you're an idiot. Everyone's dumb. I'm the only one who knows what's going on. It's like, no, you're not. But I when I was just like going back this morning and double checking everything that was going on last night, this was my favorite line from the live feed updates. Jessica to Cody, is it weird that a certain part of me feels guilty if Paul doesn't make jury? But like, that's the mentality of everyone in the house right now, which is absurd to me. Because
yeah,
why? I just don't like, I can't even wrap my head around it.
Yeah, I mean, for whatever reason, people feel like Paul deserves to be there, and Paul should.
But
like,
why?
He's this
why? Because he was on the show before and he lost due to his own like problems. Because he was an asshole to everyone. Because he didn't have any strategy, and because he underestimated the fact that Nicole actually knew what was going on and was like leading the charge everywhere. No, he doesn't deserve to be in jury. None of them deserve to be in jury.
I mean, he's taken up this mentor role with people, I think. And
why? He's not really good at the game.
Taryn, I must be on the podcast when this bitch is on. I mean, when she's on, I must be here because I'm living for this right now. I have to tell you. Like, I feel like everybody else is as well.
Like it's early. It's early, Paul, but I'm living for it. But I don't get the mentality surrounding him in the house. And if Paul wants to make this work into like to his advantage, that's great. But why is everyone just being like, oh, Paul, you deserve this? I don't get it.
Right. Well, I think it's part of the attitude that he sort of instilled in the house. I mean, it's not just Paul. There are other people in the house that they deserve it more than others. You know, Raven deserves it. We should give her
Jesus
the money.
Christ.
I know. I don't know. I don't blame Paul for it, but I do understand where you're coming from. I'm actually really glad you're here because, like, I feel the same way. And you're expressing the attitudes that many fans have watching the live feeds and watching the show when it comes to Paul. But on the other hand, I have been basically podcasting about Paul since the beginning of the season, and I've sort of adapted to the Paul worship. And I'm kind of sorry that I have, because I love the rage that's coming from you right now, because it's totally appropriate.
Because like like I said, I don't hate Paul, and I'm not vehemently against him being in there, although like obviously there are some issues with like one vet in a house of newbies. What is that? I don't hate Paul. I hate the attitude around Paul, like protecting, like he's like this golden god, but it, like, for what reason?
Yeah, it's how it goes. Paul, he's playing a pretty decent game, I've got to say, you know, the attitude that he's built around himself, I think, is okay. Very infuriating, in the same way that it was when people were watching Derek, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Paul's in the same position, but if Paul had 3 weeks of safety, I just want to keep pointing that out. So, and you know, he didn't go the way of Netta, where he, you know, misplayed his hand. He played it correctly, built up some strong allies, and I honestly think that being blindsided during week one actually really helped him, because he was seen as the hero of the story. He was like, I mean, I was wronged by these people over here, and so everybody came worshiping him. I feel like that really helped him, but I will give him credit that he's played it correctly. I do feel like eventually people are going to wake up once jury starts. At this point, I'm ready for jury to start, because I'm so sick of these people saying, I just want to make it to jury. Hello, Matt. I see you.
Yeah.
Really? Because I don't see Matt.
Well, especially this season, where it's like everybody's like, oh, we just need to make it to jury. And then we've prolonged pre-jury forever, where it's like, oh, we're just going to keep like halting weeks. We're gonna bring people back. They've been talking like, we've only evicted like three people. Like, when are we gonna make it to jury? When they finally make it to jury, hopefully they can start playing, but we just keep delaying it. So hopefully that'll happen.
Well,
soon.
I will say this really quickly. The one thing, you know, after that comment that Haley read, the thing that Cody said to Jessica was, because they were talking about Paul, and Paul was like, you know what? Everybody in this house deserves to be here more than Paul, and that includes Cameron, and he got his name right. So I was glad to see that, because remember coming into the house, in the interviews that Cody had given, he said that he was Team Paul. Like, Paul was the other alpha, he respected him, but it seems like Cody has had it up to here with Paul, and he's not here for him anymore, and that's great, because that's at least one person, maybe two people, maybe three people who have had it with Paul right now.
Yeah, he entered the house again and had to like actually be in the same vicinity as Paul. And then he was like, oh, yeah, that's why I hate him. So Josh yesterday was also getting, continued to get a little antsy. He's been isolating himself to play this role, and it's starting to wear on him. He's starting to like be like, hey, so everything is cool, right? Like, people keep not talking when I enter rooms, and I haven't been able to talk to anyone. I'm just isolating myself. It got to the point where he spent the night talking to an owl, Haley.
Sorry, you cut out for me for a second.
Oh, when Josh was talking to the owl.
Josh
I'm curious what you think about Josh.
Oh, I can't with Josh.
Really? Like, I wonder who can you with?
Okay, Kevin. I'm super in on Kevin. Okay. Who else am I in on? I feel like I'd like Elena IRL.
I like Elena too. Yeah.
Yeah, but she's not giving me a whole lot here, which is fine. We'll get there, I'm sure. Like you said, Brent, like as soon as we get to jury, hopefully everyone's going to like come on out.
Fingers crossed.
Gosh, Mark is a really interesting character to me. I don't know if I like love him or hate him, but he is kind of a hometown boy. You know, in his intro package, you could see Niagara Falls in the background, which is like right near where I live. So I appreciate that. God,
While you think about that, I'm going to talk about Josh really quickly.
Please do.
I think Josh is right to be antsy, I have to say, because he knows that there are three solid votes against him right now. It would only take two more votes for this to go really, really badly, and he doesn't want to be caught with his pants down, where he's like, you know, playing the victim the whole week, not talking to anybody, and then he looks like an asshole and goes home. So, you know, you want to make sure you have all your ducks in a row. The problem for him is really that Paul is sort of staying his hand, like, you know, don't talk to anybody, you're fine. Again, he's sort of vet-splaining everything, where it's like, you know, don't worry, because if you do this, then this is going to happen. And it's annoying, but I understand where Paul's coming from. I also understand where Josh is coming from, where he's like, you know, it seems weird because people stop talking when I come into rooms, is there something going on? He feels like he is possibly being lied to by a few people, but Paul and Christmas were able to calm him down. And on the flip side of things, Ramses is finally waking up a little bit, and Paul and Christmas are trying to calm him down. So they're just trying to like contain everything for the moment until like the blind side happens.
Yeah, I mean, Josh is—he's starting to lose it. He isn't able to talk to anybody, so he starts talking to Orwell the Owl in the Austin Powers sex room, and it was a whole thing. You know, we've been like down on meatballs. I know Brent likes the meatball thing, but the rest of us have been down on the meatball thing. The Orwell the Owl thing, I think, was fantastic feeds last night. I was riveted to my feed watching station.
I'm gonna own this, that I do not know what you're talking about. So can you please explain like what he said to the owl? Because I've been on a different feed, or like, you know, asleep, because you know my sleep is a little wonky. Like, what happened here with the owl? What did he
said many things. Tammy in the chat has one quote. Josh to Orwell, do you hate Cody as much as I do? He says he hates him very much as well.
Oh my God, I have to go back and watch this. Oh my God. Yeah.
He basically has full-on conversations with Orwell the Owl.
Oh.
It's great. Because, like I said, he's losing his mind, and he's just like talking to this owl.
Well, I've seen him talk before.
It's the only thing he'll talk that will talk back to him.
Right. I know he's been talking to America a lot. I love it. I've been watching that whenever he does that, but I did not know that he like literally started losing his mind a little bit and was talking with a little owl and then telling us what the owl said.
Did he have a mind to lose?
Well,
I was under the impression that he did not.
Look, Aika is a fan of Josh, and Josh knows. Remember, Josh knew who Aika was when she walked in the room and said she'd been wrong. She was the queen. Kevin, get the heck out. You know, so I'm here for Josh. I really am, because he's like us. He's a fan. He's hungry. He's very, very messy.
He's the messiest bitch around.
Yeah, he really is. Yeah.
All right. So we also had Mark and Elena. They're finally gaining some ground with Cody and Jessica, where the last few days I've been saying, man, Cody and Jessica keep talking about how they don't trust Mark and Elena. They finally gotten to the point where Cody and Jess are like, you know what? We feel pretty solid with Mark and Elena. They're finally catching on to the fact that these are the only two people willing to even talk to them and say that they're like totally fully on board and they trust them. So that's finally happening. They even mentioned considering like, hey, let's maybe do a four-person alliance kind of deal. Mark and Elena are on board for that, with the stipulation that as long as it doesn't impact Paul.
Yeah, we don't want the golden boy to be impacted by any alliance that we might make. So, you know, we got to make sure that Paul is okay. And Mark's like, no. I mean, of course, Paul's going to be like, we'll make sure that Paul is good with this. And because if he's not, then we won't do it. I'm like, you're not going to have a choice. I think it's hilarious that people like Alex and Jason and even Paul, to a lesser extent, are trying to plan for the eventual aftermath of the blind side, because they want Josh. They don't. Paul is saying to Josh, you know, don't throw us under the bus, you know, like act like you don't know what's going on. But I'm like, that should work for like 2 seconds. I mean, they're gonna quickly know who were the votes to evict Josh and who were the votes to evict Ramses. It's going to be 7-3, and they know who those three people are because they're the only three people they've been talking with all week. So, you know, it ain't going to work, and I still question this move, but I'll leave it aside.
I think there's always some value to throwing in a little bit of ambiguity. You know, a lot of people are like, well, people are going to know anyway, so we might as well be upfront about it. But when you are ambiguous and if you have everybody saying like, man, I don't know what happened. I mean, I voted this way because like we saw Andy do that in the beginning of season 15, where when they flipped on what's his name? The one that's on YouTube, the science guy. Anyway, they flipped
Nick.
On him.
Yeah.
Nick. Yes.
Yeah.
And Andy was like, Oh my, I'm so sorry. Like, I just got swept up in this. And everyone was like, this isn't going to work, Andy. Why are you doing this? And lo and behold, you know, granted, that's Andy, but there's always some value to trying to be ambiguous about it.
I just, here's the thing. I feel like they're planning for the worst case scenario, which is that Mark or Elena or Cody wins HOH. But if that happens, Josh is quickly going to throw everybody else under the bus because he's going to try and save his own skin. So I just feel like it's like planning for nothing here. Anyway,
yes, I agree with that. That is definitely going to happen. So we also have Paul is trying to Paul's been talking about Elena and Mark. He's kind of been saying, look, you know, we kind of want to target Cody and Jess and Elena and Mark. But I think Elena is actually the bigger threat between Elena and Mark, which really shocks me because Elena is really, really loyal to Paul, more so than even Mark. Haley, how do you feel about Paul putting the target on Elena here?
I mean, what's the point? Like, why? Why would you... Does Paul understand how loyal Elena is to him? Or is he just, like, throwing, you know, reckless abandon around and he just... I don't... Like, Paul just doesn't make sense to me. And, like, I'm not gonna, like, go to that point again. But it just... Why Elena? Why is she the number one target for him?
Yeah, I don't understand why this happened, because I feel like it's obvious who the Jessica, Cody and Jessica, Mark and Elena. I mean, you don't need to say that out loud, because if that gets back to Elena, that, you know, Paul was putting your name out there as the number one target.
I hope it does get back to Elena.
Of course it does. I'm hoping it does. But I mean, like, as a gameplay, it's a bad play on Paul's part to put a name out there like that, especially someone who is aligned with him. I know. Look, I understand where he's coming from. I still believe what I said the other day, which is that Paul is a little bored because everybody's worshiping him. So it's like, you know, like when everybody's worshiping you, you want to like, I had a good analogy, but you guys want to understand it. The point is that there's somebody who, you know, you want somebody to fight back a little bit. You want a little game. I just think he's bored right now. And that's why he's throwing an ally like Elena to the wolves.
It's kind of like Elena and Mark's relationship. Like, she's just kind of getting a little bored. So she's trying to like mess with him a little bit.
Okay. I can see that.
Yeah. I mean, Paul's strategy has been, I'm going to fixate on targets. I'm going to put targets out into the world, and that's going to distract from the fact that people should be targeting me. And he did that to Dominique, and I was kind of skeptical of that because Dominique was very loyal to him. Now he's doing it to Elena. I have to question if this is going to play out well for him. I feel like, especially if he goes after Elena, Mark is not coming back to him. I think that Mark should go first. And we have seen Christmas, Matt and Raven. They're all done with Mark. They are like, he's a terrible person.
He is terrible.
He doesn't deserve to be in jury because he's a terrible person.
Yep. He doesn't deserve our golden
Somebody in my life who is this impacted by slop. I know that Rob has always said, you know, food competitions don't matter. And, you know, of course, there isn't a food competition. But Mark is just awful when it comes to being on slop and not being able to eat food. He's so damn irritable. He's short with everybody.
He's not the fun-loving guy. It's like when you see those big guys going on Survivor and they can't eat anything, so they lose their minds first. Like, that's absolutely what's happening to Mark. And what would happen to me, because I get so hangry. So I completely feel what Mark is feeling, because I haven't eaten since like 9 o'clock last night. That's why I was so upset with Paul, because I didn't eat breakfast yet.
Aha, there it is. I see it now.
Yes,
get me after lunch. I might be a little more like calm and cool.
I don't know if the people want that.
yeah, don't eat. Anytime you come on a Life Eat show, don't eat. Taryn, did you see yesterday where Jessica got yelled at by production? And then she said she tried.
We'll talk about that in just a second. I want to finish up with Mark and Elena.
All right.
Mark and Elena, it's especially interesting to talk about them right now because Cody and Jessica do have the halting hex. So next week, it is most likely going to be Mark and Elena that are targeted here. And they even said, Matt and Raven, like, you know, last week at this time, we would have said we trust Elena almost more than anyone else. And this week, she's like done with us. And we talked about it on the roundtable, how she was in a great spot. And it is just plummeted, and it looks like she could potentially even go home next week with Paul targeting her. So their position in the house is just really bad right now, and they probably are going to be looking at being on the block next week.
Yeah, I think that's probably what's going to happen. I don't really know what's happened with Elena other than she's gotten really close to Jess. She considers Jess like almost her number one right now. And I think that in doing so, she's really withdrawn from the rest of the house. She hasn't been checking in with Paul as much. I know that they did have one check in, and, you know, but it just doesn't seem like it. Here's the thing. It seems to me like Elena should be able to sniff this out, because no one's really talking a lot of game with her other than like the three people that she knows are on her side at the moment. I think she sort of assumes everybody's on like their side, but it's like my problems with Ramses is that nobody's making plans with him for next week. And that should be a warning bell to him that something is going on. I just feel like there are clues that some people are missing in the house where if you looked a little closer and thought about it, you might be onto it. Like the fact that Josh is acting like he's going home. Another warning sign. Like Josh would never give you the satisfaction, then he would at least be trying to rally votes. The fact that he's doing absolutely nothing.
Brent.
If
you've like learned anything from Josh in the last couple of weeks, it's that he won't go down without a fight. And you're totally right. Ramses should see that and be like, oh, this is weird. This is not in Josh's character.
Yeah.
And Cody has kind of caught on to this. He's like, Josh would never be doing this unless somebody was telling him to. And he feels like Paul is probably telling him to, which is correct. The problem is, and so Cody is recognizing Paul is trying to do something. Paul is up to something. But if you know that Paul is up to something, he's not going to fail. He was up to something last time and he didn't fail. And you said last in the very first week when Cody was HOH, he was like, you know what? I know Paul is up to something, but I know that I have the votes and he's going to fail. And then guess what? You were blindsided. You stood up from the couch and you were pissed. And guess what's going to happen this time? The exact same thing. And you're in the exact same position. Cody, what are you doing?
Cody doesn't understand the game, Taryn, because he said that, you know, if this plan goes through, if it gets reversed and Josh stays somehow, he said, I hope everybody who voted for Josh to stay, I hope that the stink of Josh is on them and people know what kind of people they are. I'm like, that's real life. Like, this is a game. Like, do you not understand? Like, they're so in their heads about Josh. I will say this, that I really was very critical of Josh, like, really, you know, yelling at them, singing songs, taunting them. But they are so red-faced about Josh that I don't really think that they can think straight. They just want him out so bad, they will not entertain the possibility that he could be here next week.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about the temptation. We had a discussion yesterday in the morning about, you know, Jessica told Kevin about her temptation and she lied about it. She pretended that it lasted longer than it did and that it was more powerful than it was. And we discussed the ramifications of that and whether or not she would be allowed to continue doing that. It does seem like we got an answer yesterday where Jessica was talking to Cody and she said, I was in the diary room and they were telling me, and then production shut it down, like, don't talk about production. So then she was just like, basically no lying can occur about the temptation. So apparently she has been told you cannot lie. Brent, how do you feel about this?
Oh, wow. I don't know how to feel about it. I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Paul try to lie about his safety too? Unless it was when the feeds were down. I thought Paul tried to lie about his safety and say that because he won HOH, that week didn't count since he was already safe. So he had actually had 4 weeks of safety. So I just want them to be an equal opportunity enforcer here if they're going to make sure that Jessica can't lie. On the other hand, if they're going to enforce it in the first place, I don't know why they didn't stop her when she was talking with Kevin, because that lie is already out there. Kevin thinks something. So are they, I mean, I have seen them do this before, where they, if you try to use production as a strategy, which is what Jessica has effectively done here, although I don't blame her for it, if you try to use production as a strategy, they will force you to go to the person that you lied to about it and fix the lie. So I haven't seen them tell her, Jessica, to go to Kevin and say, by the way, this is the truth about, you know, what I told you last night, and fix it. So if that doesn't happen, I feel like it's a little bit of a half measure to force her to stop lying at this point, because I feel like there are ways for her to not lie about it and yet still get the point across that what Kevin is saying about her power is true. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, for me, I feel like the biggest offense here is that, as you mentioned, production should have told her in the first place. They shouldn't have let her lie and then call her on it. And then, like, because... Now, I mean, luckily it didn't go anywhere, and it's just with Kevin right now, and she was pretty ambiguous, so it's probably not going to hurt her. But if she had gone around and told people, like, all of these lies, and then production's like, you're not allowed to lie, and she did have to go fess up, like, that's kind of messed up. They should have told her from the start, you're not allowed to lie about this, because obviously she's going to lie about it. Like, that's the obvious move. Production should have seen that coming. They should have prevented it in the first place. It's almost as though they listened to our update yesterday and they were like, oh my God, those are the ramifications.
That's what it felt like to me.
We should shut it down.
I was like, that's not possible, is it? Like, really? But yeah, I think that they might have actually, or somebody in that camp might have listened to us, because we were going on and on about that yesterday. And then, you know, a couple hours later, Jess is in the diary room and she comes out, no lying. So I don't know.
And I mean, if that's the case, then you know, I'm glad you're doing it now. Yeah. But I do think we should have done it sooner. That would have been better. You know,
like,
in Survivor,
it should be on the card. Just be like, you cannot lie about this.
And you cannot talk about this. That's the real thing. Yeah,
exactly. In Survivor, when people are given advantages or immunity idols, it does say on the rule card what you are allowed and not allowed to do. Ceree found that out the hard way. And if you lie about an advantage in Survivor, then people can be like, okay, show me the card or show me the thing. There is no such thing in Big Brother. So you need
just
to be upfront
spell.
About the rules.
She remembers the spell.
Yeah. Oh, you have the temptation? Tell me the rhyme then. Tell it to me. If you have a temptation, you'll know the rhyme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Very fun.
Halting hex rise. Okay. Kevin and Paul also had a conversation about Raven and her disease. This is kind of popping up again. She's been talking about it a little more. She cleared out the hot tub area.
Did you watch that clip? You watched that?
I absolutely watched that clip. Like, I watched it last night and then I had to watch it again this morning because, oh my God.
Yeah.
It was just too good.
How do you feel about Raven?
How do I feel about Raven? I just don't get her. Like, she just doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. And I'm not sure why. Like, she's very quirky. She's very, very quirky. And it's hard for me to be like, is this genuine quirk or is it put on quirk? And she's like, looks different in every DR and she sounds different in every DR. Like, sometimes she's rocking the buns, or sometimes she has like really short hair, or sometimes like she like has like Ariel from the Little Mermaid length hair, and it's like, what happened? How? And then sometimes she has like an Alabama accent or Arkansas accent, and sometimes she doesn't.
Yeah, it comes and goes. Yeah,
kind of like her foot problem.
Yeah, just like her foot problem. Exactly. I love the fact that Kevin, of all people, has had it with Raven. Like, he's like, you know,
I know, and I love that the most, because
right?
He's
go ahead.
He's just like, he's like trying to put seeds in everyone's brain, like, so don't you think this is a little weird? And somebody's like, oh, I didn't really think about that. And it's like, so what about this? What about this? Like, I'm not saying that her disease is not real, but what about this and this? Yeah.
He's just very onto the fact that, you know, she really went on about the fact that something happened to her foot and, you know, she had to have all these things and, you know, she needed to wrap it up when she went in the shower and how she was limping around. Kevin, I think, said yesterday she jumped over the couch and he's like, 2 hours from now, she'll be limping around like, you know, she ran a marathon or something. So, I mean, it's permeating the house, what's happening on the outside, because that's what's...
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Kevin is, like, speaking the voice of what the audience has been saying for the last 2 weeks.
The feeders.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like,
the
people on the
episode don't even know who the hell she is.
Yeah, so, you know, and I think that's something that's super interesting and something that I've kind of been looking for the last couple of weeks, like, how weird it was that, like, the live feeders were seeing this, like... this specific side of Raven, and the whole house saw her as like a completely different person. I don't remember ever seeing that before, like where the house had one really specific perception of a character and then we had a very different specific perception of that character. And so I like that Kevin is finally kind of like speaking our voice.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yes. We also had Paul telling Matt and Raven about his conversation with Mark yesterday, where Mark kind of alluded to targeting Matt and Raven sometime soon. He said there's a pair in the house that stays neutral. It was very Dominique-esque. He probably learned it from Dominique.
Yes.
There's a pair in the house that's neutral, that doesn't get involved in things.
It doesn't
do
a lot.
Pissing me off.
Yes.
Yeah. So Paul let Matt and Raven know that Mark was onto them. And that's part of why Matt and Raven are all just like still fully on board the I hate Mark train.
Yeah, again, Mark not doing himself any favors by speaking with Dominique language because, again, Paul knew who you were talking about, so you might as well have just said their names. I mean, like, I feel like because Paul, you know, good gameplay on his part. I haven't praised him very much, so I will praise him for this. He basically took a 10-20 second comment from Mark and made it into a thing with Matt and Raven, and, you know, got them worried about the fact that, you know, would Mark, like, Raven was like, would Mark actually put us up? And then I think Paul saw the distress in Raven's face, like, Paul, like, he wouldn't put me up, would he? And he's like, no, I think you would be okay, but you know, calm down. So he's again trying to contain the situation. He wants them to be scared, he wants them to be on his side, but he also doesn't want them to go flying off the handle and marching Mark and Elena, because then of course Paul would be exposed as the person who told it to them. So good work on his part.
Yes, he's walking that tightrope. And then finally we had Cody and Jessica, very important conversations about who they're targeting, but also about birth control. So they had some
contraception
is important, friends.
I guess can we just talk about Ramsey's really quick? Like, I feel like Ramsey should
about birth control, Brent. Sorry.
Okay, fine. I feel like he should be on to the fact that something's going on. He's gone to people and they have not given him straight answers. He went to Kevin. Kevin didn't even answer him when he asked. He went to Paul. Paul really didn't give him anything. If you know anything about Paul, Paul would be trying to make a deal with you. Okay, yeah, stay. I vote for you to stay, but you can't. You got to put up Cody and Jessica next week. No one's even broaching that subject with Ramsey's. They're not talking about him. Like, what happens at Ramsey's if you win HOH next week? What are you going to do? The reason they're not talking to him about that is because he ain't going to be there. And, you know, they slipped up. I saw someone in the chat earlier note the fact that Christmas and Kevin, when they were in front of Ramsey's and Josh, said to Josh, you know, you really need to win HOH, which would be good, except for the fact that Josh is supposed to be the one that's going home. So again, that slip you talked about, Taryn, when people, you know, when people basically air their truth and they don't mean to because they're letting their guard down and they think they say something about somebody who's going to be here next week and that person isn't supposed to be here next week, you should believe them.
Yeah. And you know, Cody and Jess are falling for this trap as well. They're pretty confident that they have the votes. And they're even saying, like, you know what, in the future, we should have Ramses on our. We shouldn't be using Ramses as a pawn.
Oh, I was so furious at that. Yeah, like, yeah. In the future, let's not use Ramses as a pawn. Let's utilize Ramses because he seems like he's on our side. Where was this conversation on Monday morning when you had the veto in your hand?
Where was this conversation like 3 weeks ago when they were yelling at Ramses for voting away that he didn't even vote?
Yeah, I know. And also the fact that when Ramses talked to Kevin, you know, about the vote, first of all, Kevin didn't answer him. Then Ramses asked again, and Kevin said, you know, did you win the $25,000? And Ramses is like, no, I didn't. He's like, I swear. Kevin's like, well, I won $27, so I'm doing better than everybody else. Again, you should know that something's up. Kevin will not give you a straight answer. I don't know if he doesn't want to face the fact that maybe there is a problem here, or if he's just overlooking it, but it's so infuriating.
Yeah. And, you know, Kevin playing with fire there. Keep bringing up the 25K.
I feel like Kevin's trying to save him. I feel like he's because Ramses said, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Ramses said to him, is that a reason why people would want to vote me out? And Kevin was like, 100% is what he said. 100%. You do not say something like that to somebody who is going to stay in the house. So Ramses should be aware of this. Is he not a super fan, Taryn?
I got nothing. Okay. I don't know what's going on with Ramses.
When Ramses gets out of the house and sees that it was Kevin, by the way, they were talking about somebody who had $25,000. Jason was like, couldn't be. It's not Kevin. It's not Kevin.
That was my favorite. My absolute favorite.
When Ramses gets out of the house and finds out that Kevin was the one who took the $25,000. Oh my God. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be good. So Cody and Jess, ultimately, Cody's current plan is to nominate Matt and Raven to backdoor Paul. Probably will change when Josh stays in the house, but that is his current plan. So keep that in mind next week if he does win HOH.
I have a question for you really quickly. Sorry. When Josh stays in the house, Cody wins HOH. Do you think he still goes after Josh or does he pick a new target?
I think he picks a new target, to be honest.
I think so too.
I think he's dead set against Josh right now, but I think when he stays, he's going to be like, okay, I made a mistake in targeting Josh. He's not the real mover and shaker here. Yes. I need to be targeting other people.
Okay.
So I do see that happening. And I could, and the reason I brought this up is because I can see him potentially sticking to this plan of nominating Matt and Raven to try and backdoor Paul if he does win that HOH. And that will piss Matt off because he'll be like, I see. If I had kept Ramses, I wouldn't be on the block right now. And we could set Matt off a little bit. So that could be an interesting week if Cody wins that HOH. So that is our update for today. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Make sure you check out The Taryn Show. We released the episode of Brent yesterday. And wow, the response has been amazing. It's been great. Thank you, everyone who's listened. Everyone seems to really enjoy it. Brent, you did a fantastic job of telling your story.
Thank you. The best comment I read was on Survivor Sucks, which said, Brent gives great oral. And they meant it like I just tell a good story, but they wrote it just like that.
Yeah, that's it's pretty par for the course, I think, for Survivor Sucks. So, yes. Thank you, everyone, for checking that out. And I also, we made it to number 18 on the iTunes chart for TV and film, which is amazing. And
move over, Rob Sesternino.
Number 8 in Canada. Yeah, we were the number 1 RHAP podcast on TV and film. Beat all the other ones, even the main feed. That's right.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you. Thank you so much for joining us, everyone. Make sure you check out tonight. We will have an episode recap with Alex Willett. Melissa will be on that podcast. Woo! We'll talk about the veto ceremony. And then tomorrow night, I will be on with April Lewis, from season 6 in the Friendship Alliance. She'll be able to talk all about friendship. And it'll be a great podcast. So make sure you check all that out. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We will see you next time.